Welcome to Good Times with Bad Movies. I'm Paul Ireland. Joining me as always is my lovely co-host, Tim Morrison. How are you, buddy?
I'm pretty excited. This is a nice break from our dick and fart joke movies.
Yeah, this is definitely a step up in the sophisticated realm here, I'd say. I would call this a modern day West Side Story, if you will.
Yeah, I was thinking like the Grease version of Boys in the Hood.
That's a good Grease meets Boys in the Hood. I kind of like that. Actually, that is a very good crossover. Let's call it that.
Yeah, or if like Dangerous Minds had dancing in it.
That would have been an amazing one, because that, like, man.
Yeah.
Coolio, no, Gangster's Paradise, that was a sweet song. I would love to have had a battle scene with that going on there. So this episode, in case anyone doesn't know, we're talking about 2004's You Got Served from Columbia Pictures and Screen Gems. And if you never had the pleasure of seeing You Got Served, I'll just give you a quick synopsis so you kind of can stay with us and keep up with us. So basically, at Mr. Rad's warehouse, the best hip-hop crews in Los Angeles compete for money and respect. But when a suburban crew crashes the party, stealing their dancers and their moves, two warring friends will have to pull together to represent the street. Which, I mean, to me, if someone gave me that elevator pitch, I would be like, where do I sign? Take my money.
Oh, yeah. I am down with this movie. This was fun. This is good, clean fun.
That is actually true. This is a remarkably clean movie. I mean, aside from the child murder that takes place later on in this movie and some maybe side screen drug dealing, it's actually a pretty clean movie.
Well, everything needs a little bit of drama.
That's true. So maybe we'll just jump right into this because there's so much going on in this that it's so cool. I really want to talk about this. So when it starts out, we're inside of a warehouse. It looks like it's like a two-story warehouse with people. They're just dancing all over the place on the top and bottom levels, and in the middle there's sort of like, it's a what I would call a dancing wrestling ring. It's got like,
yeah, there's ropes,
yeah, there's velvet ropes along the outside of this. It's like a big square sort of dance pad that these guys are all just dancing off battle in, which is these dance moves that go on in this they're hilarious.
Well, and they're battling in teams. So there's two teams inside this dance wrestling ring. Approximately eight people per team.
Yeah, actually. So let me ask you, did you look at this or not? Do you know if battle dancing is a real thing or not?
I didn't look it up. I assume that it is to some extent. I mean, there's a few cameos in this movie from real life, like very famous choreographers.
Is there?
Yes. There's a very famous choreographer in this movie, and we'll get to that near the end.
Okay. Fair enough. This movie has led me to Google some weird things here. I actually had to look up and find out.
Oh, did you go down a little rabbit hole?
I did. I had to see if battle dancing was a real thing, and it turns out it actually is. So I figured I would just sort of set the stage here and give a couple quick rules. I actually found this on redbull.com of all places, which seems to make
sense.
One second.
There's rules. You have the actual official rules for dance battling.
There are some rules. Yes, apparently, as laid out by redbull.com. Yes.
Excellent. Okay. I'm curious to hear these.
I guess I sniped a couple of them, just basically the crew rules, because I think that applied mostly to this movie. There is a whole, I looked into it, there's a whole complicated system. It is like 5 pages of stuff on there. You got to go check this out. It's crazy what is actually involved in a real dance, because they have one-on-one dance battles. I didn't realize that either. But
one-on-one, I understand. So the thing about this that I find interesting about the rules, I'm curious to hear them, is that the rules are seemingly non-existent.
Kind of.
In this movie?
Sort of. Well, so basically, it's two teams face off against each other, and dance routines can involve anywhere from two members to the entire crew, and you basically perform what is rounds, I guess. So your team will dance at a team. You'll do a routine in front of them, and you can have two people dance at them, or you can have the whole crew dance at them. And once you do your dance, then the crew has a chance to do theirs. And they don't actually have to do a dance in response to you. They can do something else that they've set up themselves. And you have rounds that go back and forth And basically,
what else would they set up? You mean they don't have to dance back?
Well, like in these scenes here, you can see a couple times where people just kind of dance up on people. They sort of do weird moves. Like the girl does this like bunny hop thing where she dances in the guy's face, you know. And there's one point where I think it's
there's a guy crawling on all four legs and goes over and mimics pissing like a dog on one of the other opposing members of the team.
Yes. So when they do stuff like that, that's exactly it. That's a very great example, Tim. You don't have to respond to that. They don't have to go over and like fake slap you with a newspaper or whatever, right? Pretend to shoot you or something. They could just do whatever they want. They don't have to respond to you. The judges actually have a list of criteria that they judge you on, but this is just based on the crowd.
In this movie, they go across, they run over to the other team and pull their pants down.
That is right. Well, I think he mimics pulling his pants down.
Is that against the official rules?
Well, this is street rules. I don't know what you've been doing, but when I was out on the streets dancing, we played by street rules. That meant you could pull down pants.
Right. Okay. So that's legal on the streets.
So those are basically the rules that are going to govern this entire movie for pretty much most of this until we get to the final big bounce.
I still feel like there's no rules.
Well, there kind of isn't. So Elgin and David are the leaders of this top dance crew. They are in a dance battle at this anonymous warehouse. At this point, this is where I was anyways with this. Well, they dance back and forth, and they sort of get into a little bit of a shoving match at the end when David does a backflip in front of the guy, and they sort of just gives him a little face wash kind of move. They get in each other's face. Everyone sort of breaks it up because that's what happens in street battles or in dance battles. It gets really heated because this is the streets.
They're constantly besmirching each other.
That's correct. And they're fake peeing on people like dogs. And so this is when we meet Mr. Rad, who is played by
Steve Harvey.
Correct. Yes. So Steve Harvey plays Mr. Rad. The only way that I knew that this was his warehouse was reading the Wikipedia. There was no other explanation. They don't really say in this is Mr. Rad's warehouse. And this also
does mention that he owns this warehouse now, and he's been using it since he was a kid.
What? When does he say that? Really?
Yeah, later on.
Later on? Oh, okay. Maybe I missed that part.
His crew used to dance.
Mr. Rad was a dancer?
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. We'll get there.
Okay, because that explains his name then, because I was trying to, I'm like, why is this guy called Mr. Rad, and why does this dude own this warehouse in the neighborhood? Do you know what I mean? Like, if I was walking through this neighborhood and someone came to me and was like, "Hey, kid." And I was like, "Huh?" And some guy was like, "I got a warehouse over there. Show up about 9:30 tonight. You're going to hear the dopest beats." And I'd be like, I'm going to pull up my phone and call the police because you're a crazy person. You know, like it seemed like a weird premise in a setup, but that kind of makes more sense now.
Yeah. And Mr. Rad is basically the respected older figure in this movie or in this warehouse in the dance competitions. Nobody disrespects Mr. Rad because he's like Mr. Rogers.
I would dare say he is the glue that keeps this whole neighborhood together, realistically. That's what it sounds like anyways. And like he is the voice of reason throughout this movie, breaking up fights when it gets dangerous out there on the dance floor, when everyone's dancing in each other's faces.
Even gangsters are afraid of him.
That is very true, which is, I can't wait till we get to this point. But so Mr. Rad comes out and he breaks up this fight with this rival, Vic's crew. So Steve Harvey throws it out to the crowd and they pick Elgin and Dee's crew. They win the battle. So they win everything that's in the hat, which is about $600. And I was going to ask you this. Maybe you did do this.
I did. I know what you're going to ask.
Did you break down the math in this movie?
Yes.
For every battle?
I didn't break down right to the point. I did count. I had to count how many people. So in this particular battle that they just had, the beginning of the movie, their first battle, they won $600. There are 8 members on their battle team at this point. Yes. So split $600 8 ways.
That's like 75 bucks.
We're getting approximately $80 each. Yeah. 75. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work that they put in to make $75.
Right? Yeah. Everyone's going to almost get stabbed for $75 in Mr. Rad's dirty warehouse? Come on. What's going on here? Oh, my God.
And it seems like, so, and the way these battles work is that they each team puts up the same amount of money. So they each eight people came up with $300.
That's, yeah, so that's what I mean. So you basically made like $36. Yeah. When you break it down, at the end of the day, you made, you know what I mean? But whatever, they're doing it for the love of the sport, not the money. That's what it is, right?
It's about the passion. And lest we forget, this is serious.
That is something I noticed in this movie. Math is a real enemy of this entire movie. And this is awesome. So after this battle takes place, Dee and Elgin go off on their own. And they are going to do a drug deal now. This is where we're going to get really even grittier and more street than we just got in the first scene. We are going to go meet Emerald, who is apparently the drug kingpin in this area. I don't know really where they are. I forget. Oh, they're in Los Angeles. So he's like the drug kingpin of Los Angeles. When we meet Emerald, I know you asked me to clip this, and I was, when you're like, just clip the whole thing for me. And when you asked me that, and I heard it the first time, I was like, oh, I knew exactly what you wanted me to play. And so we're just going to play this. This is our first intro to Emerald, and this is what he tells the guys.
So if it isn't my dancing delivery boys, I knew you'd be back. Your timing couldn't have been better. My last kid had to retire. He was running his mouth too much.
he was running his mouth too much.
My dancing delivery boys.
Here's my dancing delivery boys. It's like he picked them out. My favorite. These are my favorite delivery boys, the dancing ones.
So Emerald, he gives his dancing delivery boys a sack of merchandise, and they go off in the night.
I think it's worth mentioning too that at no point, this is why this movie is such clean, good fun, is that they don't specify at all what they're doing. It's implied that they're probably delivering drugs, but they don't identify it as in such. He just throws them duffel bags.
I think he calls it merchandise or something like that. That's about it, right?
Back at Elgin's home, Dave and Elgin are both asleep on the couch after their long night of dealing merchandise. And Leah, Elgin's older sister, is in the kitchen talking with their mother. And their mother is like, acknowledges that Elgin and Dave have been out all night. They're really tired. And she says, make him some breakfast. I got to go to work. So she says, okay. And she goes in and wakes Dave up, and they start flirting with each other. And she doesn't make any breakfast at all. So he walks her to work. And while they're walking, we're treated to like a montage of just them walking and talking, but you can't hear them. There's just this music playing over them. So it's a weird, pointless scene. But by the end of it, Elgin calls Dave and is kind of grilling him like, hey, what are you doing with my sister? Get back here. I got something to show you. So Dave hightails it back to Elgin's house.
So this is pretty much the point when we're going to get into the big challenge that comes into the play now. There's a lot of stuff in this where they sort of gloss over things quickly in this movie. And that is kind of the downfall of this movie. There is a bit of one line throwaway exposition that they give you sometimes. And if you're not paying attention, you might miss something, like with the Mr. Rad thing where he apparently used to dance and you're going to miss stuff like that. Like I did. So what happens apparently is L gets a tape from some mysterious guy named Wade.
And I want to say, this is a VHS tape, right?
Yes, this is a VHS tape, which is weird. So, but he gets a VHS tape after the dance at Mr. Rad's warehouse. And that's all he's given. The guy didn't give him any explanation. He just handed him a tape like he's an awkward kid handing some girl he's got a crush on a mixtape and then walks away and that's it. So Elgin is waiting for Dee to show up so that they can watch the tape.
This is an official challenge.
This is the real
$5,000 challenge.
Your crew versus our crew.
We'll let you pick the place.
We'll even let you pick the time. And as much as we don't want to take your money, the word is that you're the best crew. We have to show everyone who the best really is.
So this is how dance groups challenge each other. They send each other video VHS tapes messages.
It just seems weird. There's a couple things that I thought were weird about this. But one of them is, Like, why didn't he just say, "Hey, man, do you guys want to battle us sometime? We'll challenge you. We'll bet $5,000," and then he could have just walked away. Why did he need to give this guy a tape? We could have had a scene already at the end of the first scene where they did 2 seconds. They didn't need to create this extra scene where they had to go out and film stuff on a VHS tape. Why did you have to go to the elaborate work? Because this is what I mean. It's 2004, so presumably you still had to get somebody, get a camera, handheld camera. You had to go to the bank. You had to pull up $5,000 and you had to get someone to get a camera and then stand there and while you film it and then take that tape, put it on your computer and then put it onto a VHS tape and then hand it to the guy. The amount of work he went in to just be like, "Hey, $5,000, you guys want to battle?" Like, I don't know why we needed this dramatic.
I like it because it's a lot like a wrestling promo. Like when wrestlers are challenging each other. They're like, "You think you're the best? Well, meet me on this day. I've got $5,000 that says we're better than you."
Yeah, we're just missing the Ultimate Warrior in the back there, just snarling away.
"What you gonna do?"
That would have been amazing. I wish that would have been. They could have had Disco Inferno on their team. That would have been amazing. God damn. Or Booker T. I would have actually chose Booker T. I would have been like, "Yeah, they're gonna do a spin around you, dude." Yeah, like, "I'm winning this one, no problem."
So Dave and Elgin's crew, they're dancing, they're dance battling another crew that's not named, and the other crew wins. Then Steve Harvey comes out and he's about to announce them as the winner, but he goes, "Actually though, Dave and Elgin's crew said that it's double or nothing. Do you accept?" So the other team goes over and talks amongst themselves for a little bit, and they're like, "You know what, we accept. We'll beat them again." And they end up losing. So it's just kind of funny to me that was their plan. They planned on losing just to pull a double or nothing trick on them.
Huh. Really? Oh my God. Okay, because I watched this a couple times now. I did not even know that. I thought it was a different team I thought it was two different teams battling each other. And then that's when D and Elgin came up with Mr. Rad and were like, "These guys want to battle you for double or nothing." But that is a very complicated and convoluted plot that they just threw in there. Why the hell did they do that?
Well, usually it's basically like they hustled them. Dave and Elgin hustled the other crew.
But how did they hustle them? What if they said no? Thanks.
They planned on losing. What? They planned on losing first. And then they
maybe that's just to show they're street smart or something, but that really pisses me off right now watching this movie. Okay.
Oh yeah. It makes no sense.
No. Okay. I liked this movie before that. Now I'm getting a little pissed off watching this because what?
Yeah.
Why?
So then,
why
then
would they dance? I'm still blown away by this. And that was their big plot. That was their big ace up their sleeve. The rabbit in the hat was that you were going to try to battle these guys, lose. You were going to dance, I guess, somewhat subpar, and then sucker them in for double or nothing.
Yeah. What if they didn't?
With Steve Harvey.
Right.
Yeah. What if they said no?
Exactly.
And they said, "See you later." Why would you do?
What if they would have said no, walked away with their money? They'd have nothing.
And these guys are clearly hurting for money because they're only winning $35 a battle. So what if you lost?
Right.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, it that battle ends with them sort of dance walking them off the court like in Thriller. That's kind of what happens there. And then so they sort of celebrate that they win.
This next conversation I love. So when Elgin tells the rest of the crew about the challenge that they've received from the white boys from Orange County, and he tells them that they've been challenged to a dance-off for a prize of $5,000. Now, a couple of the dance map, the other people in the crew are like, "Awesome, that's great money. We can split that. Awesome, right?" And Dave and Elgin are like, "Well, me and Dave, us two, we're going to take $3,000 of that money and split it between us, and then you guys can divvy it out amongst the rest of you." And by the way, at this point, two people have been added to their crew. Because two girls were added to the crew earlier in the movie. So they're at 10 people in their dance crew right now.
Yes. But so there is a bit of a stipulation. They say, though, that they are going to take $1,500 each. So they're going to get $3,000 out of the total. Sorry, this is, I know this is a bit of math, and if someone's listening, they might get confused. I hope you can just stay with us here. So it's $5,000 on the line. D and L have stipulated that they will pay the $5,000 total, and everyone just has to show up and dance. But in exchange for paying the $5,000, they would like $3,000 of that pot, which works out to $1,500 each. And the guy, everyone else, so the eight people will split $2,000, which is about $250 each, which is, for them, that's like 16 dances.
It's a step you know, up.
I don't know why no one's been a stripper at this point, because that seems like that's a more lucrative business, dancing.
But one member isn't happy with that. Sonny. He feels that's really unfair. And he makes a good point. He says, you guys are basically using us to make money. But, you know, they trump that by saying, we fronted the money, though.
Yes, correct. Yeah, they're paying the $5,000. So you know what? It's like, hey, you're going to put him on the line. You get to call it.
Little Saint, this little kid, comes up and asks if he can be in their crew, because there's another member of the crew who is best friends with this little kid, who apparently is like a little orphan Annie type. And he says, come on, can I ride with you guys? Can I be in your crew? This kid is probably like 8 or 9 years old, I would say. And he goes, can I be in your crew? And Sonny, the surly guy that wasn't happy with the money, says, no way, you little punk. You can't move. And I thought, geez, that was awfully cold for a little kid. So, and they tell him he dances like a little white boy.
After the dance, and after they go to the malt shop and celebrate, I don't know what it is, after they go to the diner and celebrate, they go out again to Emerald's.
They dance their way over to Emerald's to deliver.
That's right. They dance their way over, and they pick up a couple duffel bags and head out for the evening, and we get another fade cut again.
And I want to say, they also say, too, that this is the last time.
That's right. They're like, this is it. We're looking for a way out. We're done. We're no more. We're going legit after this.
Yeah. And they walk out with book bags to deliver more merchandise.
That's correct. And after we get another fade out, we go back to the next day now, where everybody is playing basketball on the court.
Little Saint walks up and asks if he can play basketball.
What did they say to him?
Well, that's Rico, who is the guy that likes him, he was like looking after this little kid, I guess. He's like, no, man, just go over and sit down for a little bit. I'll take you out for ice cream later. And then he does. And then we go to another quick little music montage of basketball.
Yes. And then this is where we see Wade and his buddy. I think his name is Max. These are the two white boys from, where are they from again? Anaheim or something?
Orange County.
This is the two white boys from Orange County. So they roll up. And they see L, and they challenge him.
They walk over and say, you know, to Wade and Max to see what's up. And they're like, you know what? Let's practice tonight if you guys are ready. And he goes, well, we need to practice. And Wade and Max say, we don't practice. We just do it.
Yeah. And then L says, we don't practice either. So, which is a lie, obviously.
Yeah. None of these guys are all doing choreographed. 10 people per team are doing choreographed dances, and nobody's practicing.
That's what I mean. How does anybody do any of this stuff realistically? It's like someone just starts dancing, and it's just intuition. They're like, I think he's going to move his right arm. Here we go, you know? I did wonder that, too. How do they learn these? This, like, because based on the music, when they dance and everything, how do you know what moves to do, and how, you know, does everyone get in a huddle and go, okay, so we're gonna come in and I want you guys to do this move here, and then we're gonna spin around and do a little sashay. Like, how do they know, like okay, and then you're gonna come up and you're gonna pee on this guy, like how do they know what to do?
The other thing too is they dance to the same song, so like there's one song playing, and these teams are battling off, like, are battling each other. So do they know what song is being played before? I have to assume they do.
I don't know. It doesn't... Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's like, do they give them sort of like a selection of songs that are going to be played, and you just have to make numbers up appropriately?
I was thinking maybe one member from each dancing gang meets in mutual territory, and they both agree on a song that they're going to dance to.
We dance to Milli Vanilli, or I don't show up.
Girl, you know it's true. No, we're doing Blame It on the Rain. I'll give you Blame It on the Rain. So they're totally goaded into into performing this at night, like the night coming up, yes. like in a few hours.
So yeah, they're basically going to show up and battle this evening. And at this point, Elle sort of huddles in David and says to him, hey man, we got a battle tonight. It's coming up. How much money do you have? D has about $1,500. He spent $500 because he had to go to the mall. And L has about $2,000. So in total, they have about $3,500. So they're missing $1,500.
Paul, where do you go when you need money?
You know who you go to? You go to your grandmother. Basically, I just want to set this up quickly. L is going to come over and he's asking his grandmother for something. And she can't really... He can't really get the words to ask her. So she's asking him questions and trying to figure out what's going on. So she asks him something.
Is something wrong?
Yes, she asks him something here that sort of, when I listened to it a second time, my ear sort of perked up and went, bah? So here we go.
Something's wrong. I feel it. You having sex.
Come on, Grandma.
I diapered it. I can ask about it.
So,
are you?
Grandma knows.
She said, I diapered it. I can ask about it, which I thought was a great line.
I want to say, this guy too, just put it in perspective, Elgin, I would say, is probably 26 years old. It's not like she's talking to like an 18-year-old, right? Or a teenager.
Yeah, it's old enough that this is very, very, very awkward.
So, when he first goes in to talk to his grandmother, she kind of, her characteristics are basically that she has many ailments. I made a list of them.
Oh, really? Okay. Could you let us know what's going on with grandma? What's hurting her?
Okay. She's got arthritis in her leg. She's got a bad back from getting too excited at bingo. She's got the gout and her blood pressure is through the roof. And now he's about to ask her for $1,500 to go dance.
Well, yeah. Because, as Elgin puts it, this crew tried to trump my crew today. And he said he wasn't having it. And so they had to battle.
Right. And she says, you're just like your grandfather. Pride.
She said, that's pride talking. Which is, I mean, but fair enough. When, you know what? Grandma knows. And
she's not wrong.
Let's be real here. We all know. When some crew tries to jump your crew... You can't take that. You got to step to them and show them what's up. And you got to just dance battle them because we all know it's on. Okay, I have to talk about this now because the math here is where it gets a little weird and confusing.
You're really hung up on the math.
Because, well, listen, just hear me out. They're putting up $5,000 and they're going to make $1,500 out of this. Instead of asking the other members to chip in the money, which would have been like $250 each. They come to her for $1,500, right? So they can wager $5,000. If they just put up $1,500 each, which they had, they wouldn't have to borrow money from grandma, right? And they would just basically break even. So it just seems like they're wagering more money than they're actually going to win at the end of this. And it just seems kind of stupid. I don't really know how to explain this.
And I assume they plan on paying grandma back.
Well, that's part of it too, right? How are you? It doesn't. They're gonna make like $40 off this at the end of this thing.
Paul, this is serious. This isn't about money. This is about passion.
Well, they're gonna make probably like $750 each. But grandma says, "Let me go see what's in my stash." So she goes, and presumably she gets the money because the next thing we do is we fade into Mr. Rad's warehouse now. So they're wondering. There's. David and Elgin are talking to each other and they say, why isn't Sonny picking up? And they say, I don't know. Haven't heard from him. And this is where we're going to get one of the great daggers in the heart in this movie. One of the great betrayals.
Before we get there though, Mr. Rad's talking a little bit with the other David and Elgin's crew. And he's talking about his back in the day when he used to dance. He says, you know, back in the day, we'd dance and we'd only win a quarter. Me and the boys would go down to the canteen afterwards and buy one popsicle and all of us would take turns licking it. And that was our reward.
Licking the same popsicle, which is...
That's all that you could get for 25 cents, right? So they shared the reward.
That's just some weird dialogue to include in this movie. I think that's what makes this movie so great is that it's everything in this movie is so earnest and it's delivered so seriously And the subject matter is treated very, very seriously. And it just lines like that. It's great. I love this.
For this battle, Mr. Rad, because of the stakes, you know, $5,000, Mr. Rad hired a guy that he calls Mr. Chuck to sort of keep everybody in line. He goes, show how you're going to keep everybody in line, Mr. Chuck. And Mr. Chuck lifts up his shirt and he's got a gun.
I think it's also worth mentioning, I believe that Mr. Rad says that Chuck is also LAPD. So he's not just some big dude with shades and a weapon. He is also a police officer, allegedly. The dancers, they take the floor, and this is where we're going to see the boys get knifed in the heart here. Because now, this is where Sonny walks out onto the court. Sonny, in case we don't remember, was part of their crew. And he is now dancing with Wade's crew. So the boys realize this, and the battle just kind of starts. And they're just really sort of, it looks like they're just thrown off now because they don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, they're bewildered. They were just caught off guard. Their homeboy just betrayed them and went to the other team. He went with the, betrayed them to go with the white boys from Orange County.
He chumped their crew. That's right. He chumped it. He chumped their crew. And so now what happens is Sonny and Wade's gang start doing DNL's moves, and they start dancing their moves, which I assumed anyways you could kind of do. I didn't know that this scene was frowned upon in the dance world. It just seemed like if you were at enough dance battles, you would kind of watch people and be like, oh, that's a cool move. When he peed on that guy like a dog, we should do that. You know, or he pulled that guy's pants down, we should do that. Or incorporate something like that.
How about this, Paul? How about this? How many days have there been, one day, since they were challenged?
I think it's been two days? There was a dance.
Okay, let's say just to be generous, let's say 3 days. Okay, so in 3 days, Sonny defected to the other team, and that whole team that doesn't practice learned all of their moves.
Well, they only had to learn maybe 5 minutes worth of material, right? That's like if you steal some comedian's jokes, you just got to learn 5 minutes, you know? I don't know. Maybe. I do see what you're saying. I mean, clearly, Wade's crew's lying. They must practice a lot. Everyone in this movie is a very good dancer, I will say. So
they dance.
You can't just all dance like this. It's not some weird hive mind. So they obviously learn the moves. But I will say, yeah, 3 days, that's a little generous. You're right.
So just while we're talking about the dancing, too, I think it's worth pointing out that the style of dancing that they're doing isn't the way you would see people dance on, like, Dancing with the Stars or anything like that, or, like, talented solo dancing. This is, like, Britney Spears backup dancers or NSYNC dancing together.
Yes. And everybody has a very mean, dramatic look on their face, which I found out is actually in the rules. You're supposed to put emphasis in it. So people, the judges look for this so they can actually see that you've got this emotion going through you. It's just funny when you see these people do these ridiculous dance moves in each other's faces really aggressively. When you see somebody dancing really aggressively with a very serious look on their face, it's pretty funny, I gotta say. Especially when they're doing it right in your face, I would have a hard time not laughing.
And I think the reason for that is dancing in its nature really isn't intimidating. Unless you're doing like a really out there tribal type dance, I guess maybe that might be intimidating. Something you're culturally not haven't experienced. But yeah, this is not intimidating dance. Dancing like the Backstreet Boys is not intimidating. And when you put a mean face on, yeah, it doesn't make it any better.
That's correct. No theater gang is intimidating. What are they going to do? Shoot you with glitter? Or they're going to come down the street like... If you hear that, you know you screwed up somewhere, I guess. I don't know. But like, it's amazing. When you put all of this stuff together, this whole package of Steve Harvey and his friends just licking one popsicle and these serious dance moves going on and dancing delivery boys, what you're getting is such a great movie. Like, this is so fun to watch. Every little piece of this, it's hyped up. And I looked at the YouTube comments and everybody was just like, when I watched this in theaters, the whole place was dancing. And I can totally see that.
All of the actors in this movie are really trying. Like, they believe in what they're doing. And that does make this movie enjoyable.
Absolutely. And that is why we sort of get the main line in this movie, which sort of sucked everybody in the first place. And is the reason why I picked this movie in the first place again. I thought about this and I was like, yes. So after the battle, the boys have realized they've lost because Sonny.
They've been clowned.
That's right. Sonny and his friends have stolen all their moves. They've been chumped. They've been clowned. And they lose the battle now. And they've lost the $5,000. And this is where we get this.
You're just mad. Because tonight you suckers got served.
Can we talk about what it means to be served? And being on the receiving end of that isn't good. So I'm assuming that's where this movie uses it. So where this movie gets it from. Now, and I'm just wondering, when you say you got served, they totally tricked them, right? Like, they didn't actually beat them by, like, doing really good. They just, like, stole their dance number and they learned all their dance moves. And they're like, you just got served.
They totally cheated. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we just cheated. We just totally stole everything from you. Ha ha ha. You just got served. I would have thought that being served would be like legitimately being like, ha, we through my talent and my wits, I just owned you. Like, I don't know. I just thought that it was a weird way to use you got served.
When he informs them that they have in fact been served, the look on their face, look on their faces and the music that plays.
Utter defeat.
Yes. And it's just like somebody shot their dogs, you know? And they look so, it's just like the worst thing that could have happened to these guys. They got served.
And it is just downhill for all of their lives from here on out. this is what happens when you get served.
And Steve Harvey just tells them, look, you know what? You guys did get served, but you guys can come out of this a lot stronger. Don't let this kick your ass, you know?
I like how he agrees you got served. y'all got your ass whooped. That's what he says.
Yeah, that's it. He did. He's like, you got your asses whooped. But I mean, even Steve Harvey should know. What they did was just cheat. You know, like he should be a little outraged too, be like, that was some bullshit, guys.
What is Mr. Chuck doing there if he's trying to keep this whole thing fair?
Right? That's a good point. He should have shot Wade in the leg. That's what I feel like that should have happened. Or at least Sonny. Kneecap Sonny.
Yeah.
I don't know. The next day, we cut to the boys playing basketball and they're talking about what are they going to do? How are they going to get the money to pay back the grandmother? So Elle suggests basically that they should do another run with Emerald. They should be the dancing delivery boys one last time. And it's at this point, Dee and Leah are at the diner now for the second time in this movie. They're having lunch together, and Dee is getting lots of phone calls, lots of texts, and he's not paying attention to her while Elle is playing basketball with the boys. Emerald calls Elle and says, I need you to come in a little earlier and do this delivery for me. So basically at this point, Elle has to now try to get a hold of Dee.
But Dee is with Elle's sister.
He is. And he is getting multiple phone calls, and Leah ends up turning the phone off on him. And this is where we get our next sort of plot twist. Elle can't find Dee. Can't get a hold of him. He figures, you know what? I'm just going to go up. I'm going to grab the merch myself. It's no problem.
You got to do this run all alone.
Yeah, he's got to do it. Just got to go out there and just do it for the streets. And so he shows up, and this time he gets an even bigger bag. This bag actually, though, when Emerald throws the bag at Elle, it's a bigger bag, but it actually looks deflated. It looks like there's nothing in this bag, really.
Yeah, okay. So yes, when he throws it at Elle catches it as if it doesn't weigh that much at all.
That's right.
Like it looks like a bag that's filled full of styrofoam. A big giant duffel bag filled with styrofoam.
It looks like maybe there's a towel and a water bottle in there, like you used it to go to the gym once or something, and that's it.
I'm gonna say these are just lightweight drugs.
I think this is crack or cocaine. You know what I mean? That's my guess. Just because of the whole situation and where Elle is going next. But Emerald says to him, hey, are you sure you should be alone? Because he makes it explicitly clear at this point that is, quote, a lot of merchandise.
And when Emerald is warning you, you know that you probably shouldn't be alone.
So Elle says that he's just going to go on with his own. He's just going to go on by himself. So off they go. And then at this point, Elle goes to, this is why I think this is probably crack or cocaine, because Elle goes to a really sketchy apartment, which to me looks like something that's on what, you know, like what they would call like a trap house, like where you make drugs, you cook up crack.
Yeah.
Like a sketchy apartment building. That's exactly what this kind of looks like. And there is a bit of a music montage that goes on here between Elle going to do this drug deal and Dee and Leah sitting, talking, and having drinks in the diner and not paying attention to anything. So L gets jumped by about 8 guys in the hallway here. And I wanted to play it and clip it for you, but there was all this sound effects going on. But I was pretty much able to find the almost exact sound effect that they used for this brutal savaging that we experience here on scene. And all I had to do was just basically go and just Google fight noise. So I'm just going to play you a little bit of what this brutal fight is supposed to sound like, according to the people at You Got Served.
That's like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat noises.
Yeah, or it sounds like Looney Tunes or something. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But he's, apparently this is just a savage beating that he is just getting, he's just taking right now. Which I couldn't help but laugh at this. I thought it was a little preposterous that this is what they would decide to do. After L gets beat up, D decides to turn on his phone and he sees that he has about, 20 missed calls. And one of them is from L. He finds out that L is now in the hospital. So Leah and Dee go over to see L in the hospital. And L is pretty beat up. He's got a couple cuts on his face. He's also has a broken leg. And when I watched the fight scene, I didn't really see anybody like kick his leg or anything. It just looked like they punched him a bunch. So I don't really, and he has like a bloody mouth and he doesn't really have a fat lip when you see him later. So I don't really understand how he broke his leg in all of this chaos.
Well, maybe he pulled something. He's been doing a lot of dancing and stuff too, so maybe that combined with the beatdown, he had a sore leg.
I feel like I'd like to think that he just tripped on the stairs on the way out and broke his leg, and then just lied about it. It's like, oh, they kicked me in the leg. But L is very upset that Leah and D weren't there, and D wasn't there to help him out. Even though if D was there, I'd like to point out like they would both be in the hospital.
I was gonna say that too. Yeah. Dave, his friend, would have been no help whatsoever. Because there was four guys that gave him the beatdown. So even if he did have help, like his buddy was with him, it wouldn't have made a fucking difference.
No, they would have been down two members. But, I mean, it doesn't really matter. So I feel like I should bring this up right now too. Because I thought that him having a broken leg was going to be a major plot point in this movie or something. And it really has no bearing on this entire movie at all.
At this point, L realizes that Dave and Leah have been dating each other. And he is none too happy about that. If it wasn't bad enough that Dave wasn't there to actually help him during the drug deal, he finds out that he's also dating his sister. Friendship's over.
After all this happens, we go back to Grandma's house, where L is. And L's working on trying to strengthen his leg, and you can see he's trying to do a little spin-a-rooney dance move thing, and sort of his knee's not what it used to be. It's a little sore. And he goes into the kitchen and meets Grandma and Leah. And Leah says, tell Grandma what you did. And so he tells his grandma that he smacked her around, and his grandma then proceeds, obviously, to tear a strip off him, which is, again, the right move to do. And I was going to say, I love in the scene, too, Grandma is scolding him while wearing a pink Winnie the Pooh shirt. nothing like getting scolded as a 26-year-old when your grandmother asks you if you're having sex and wearing a Winnie the Pooh shirt. So after she rips a strip off him, just gives him an ear beating, she says, walk me out to my car.
I just want to say, he walks like 5 feet away from Grandma, and then this happens. Like, it's not like he walked for a while down the street. He walks like 5 feet.
A black Escalade pulls up, clearly in sight of Grandmother. Grandma just didn't look back the whole time. She was just like, oh, Noel. I hope he doesn't hit Lee anymore. And just like drove off down the street, and that was it. Meanwhile, he's like getting black bagged into a car. She's just like, he's getting thrown in there. And he comes face to face with Emerald.
I found this hilarious. The way the guy came out, so this black Escalade pulls up, and then he just turns around and starts running. And this guy, almost like he's like just like a wobbling, like arm wides out, just like kind of snatches him up and takes like he's kidnapping a little kid. And puts him, but they're both like the same height. But he just like wraps his arm around him and bear hugs him, takes him into the SUV, broad daylight. And what's funny about this too is that as soon as he gets into the SUV, they just sit there. They don't drive away. Like, you think if you were going to kidnap somebody and put them in a vehicle, you'd drive away immediately. But he doesn't. They just sit there. Elgin offers to return the money in 6 months. And Emerald says, well, I usually give my guys a couple days, but I'll give you a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He sort of, it's very nonspecific, the time frame here. He says, I usually give 24 hours, but I'm going to give you a few weeks. He doesn't say like 2 weeks, 6 days, 7 days, 10 days, whatever. There's no real timeline. He just says a few weeks. He goes, I'm going to give you a few weeks.
A few weeks. You know, that's actually probably the most lenient thing he's done in the movie. That's not so bad, really.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, Emerald is a gangster with a heart of gold. That's what it seems like to me.
Well, now we're just with, basically, for the next little bit of this movie, it's the gangs split off. The dance groups split off into two. Because a lot of them, they just don't want to be in the middle of Dave and Elgin fighting with each other. So they kind of disband.
Yeah, well, yeah. So Dave's got his own crew of guys now. And they don't really explain how anybody sort of took sides in this. So the next day, Elle is out playing basketball. And then this is when we sort of get the setup to the last and big dance-off. And it is going to be hosted by MTV. And what you win, the top prize is 50 grand and a spot in Lil' Kim's music video. So Elle sees the poster and D sees the poster as well. They both decide that, you know what, I don't need this guy. I'm going to go on my own. And then we get treated to the greatest montage in this entire movie. This is, Tim.
This is awesome.
Yes, this is the scene of the movie that you need to watch. And it's actually, I'm pretty sure this is just online on YouTube. If you just type in dancing in the rain and you got served, you will come up with this scene here where they are now both every... It seems like every movie that has dancing in it in some way, shape, or form has a music montage where they are prepping for their dancing.
Can I try and describe this?
Please, please go ahead and tell me all about all of it.
So basically, in this montage, we're treated to the main characters of the movie, Dave and Elle and Rico and a couple of the other people from their teams. And they're all dancing like montages, clips of them by themselves dancing. Alone, really intensely, but and the funny thing about this is that they're still dancing, doing the dances as if there was like 10 of them. When you take one person by themselves doing these types of dance that they're doing, it looks really funny. It just looks really weird. Like at one point, Dave is like dry humping the air and just like moving in like a liquid flow motion and dry humping the air, and the music's getting more and more intense. And just when you think it hasn't gotten any more intense, it's like thunder, like actual real thunder in the movie occurs, and lightning, and they're dancing in the rain, still separately, like clips of each of them, like dry humping the air in the rain by themselves.
And the whole thing seems weird, too, because they both seem like they're at the exact same location as well. So, and it's raining because they're both outside dancing. Like, they both decided, tonight is the night I'm going to go dance outside. And this is when I'm going to go bust my moves. And they both decided that. Like, when I feel like this montage, at some point, they should have looked over 10 feet the other way and been like, oh, you're here? This is awkward. Like, it should. They're clearly both in the same warehouse practicing. Like...
They should have called it a rain dance. Like, they should have threw that in earlier in the movie that, like, I learned this from, like, my dance sensei when I was young. And when he performed, he said that thunder and lightning occurred. The only thing that was missing from this was, like, a scene from Flashdance or Footloose where he's like, they should have been smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Look, like, as far as the way we're describing the dance, we should make it clear. These guys are doing awesome dances. Like... They all can dance.
Yeah, we are not doing it justice. They are very... Everyone in this movie is a very, very skilled dancer. But I did want to discuss something here really quick, or at least bring this up. It's $50,000 for them to win this. Why was this... Like, the $5,000 fight, the broken leg, they seem like they were going to be major plot points in this. You could have just set this up at the beginning where this big battle was coming up. And this was the big fight that was going to be at the start of the movie. It's going to come up this entire movie. And halfway in between, they could have had something where they're like, we want to challenge you suckers today. And they're like, yeah, we'll take you anytime, anywhere. How about tonight? Yeah, we'll pay you $5,000. They should have done something.
I see what you mean. They could have raised the stakes at the very beginning of the movie if we would have known that this was the eventual goal.
Yeah, it's like, it just seems weird. Like, this is the whole point of this movie. Everything else in this sort of seems null and void to how we got here. And
it was until three quarters of the movie we find out that there's this big competition.
And listen, I'm happy with the dancing delivery boys and the rain dancing and everything. I love it all, but it just seems like sort of needless. It was just sort of needless. You didn't really need all this extra stuff. You could have just had the story, and then we could have built it up along. Honestly, you and I should be writing these stories for these guys, because what we've come up with so far in this, I feel like, is way better plot points. And I think it moves the story better.
The only problem with that is, Paul, I don't think we can dance as well as these guys.
Oh, I don't have to dance. I just got to tell them, like, this is where you're going to serve. You are now going to serve this guy, okay? And then proceed to serve. Please serve.
Yeah. You serve him.
I don't know.
Then after he serves him, you come in, and then you serve him.
This is starting to sound a little sexual. Yeah, you can serve him. Serve him. That's real serve hot. Him. I like when you serve
him. Yeah, serve him. Good.
Serve both that. At the same time. Okay, we get stop. And so after they're done practicing, we're done with this montage. We are now at the big bounce, and this is day one. It's a 2-day event, and there's a lot of stuff going on.
I thought that alone confused me. That this is a 2-day event, because I don't even remember them saying that in the movie that it was a 2-day event. So where this event takes place, where Little Kim and the MTV crew and everyone's there, it looks like it's a shopping mall or like the auditorium of a shopping mall.
Yeah, I thought it was like the gymnasium for Hit Me Baby One More Time for a second. And then I was like, what is this place? Like, it's like, I don't know what it is.
You know, it might have been, because, you know, it's funny you say that. So we'll get back to that here in a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways.
Keep going.
So this is day one now we're setting up here. There's just a bunch of people dancing. We don't really know who any of these people are. We're just kind of coming in mid-swing into this competition. Everybody's going off. They're all dancing. People are serving people left, right, and center. Mr. Rad shows up, and he is wearing this jacket. It's a varsity jacket.
I was going to ask you to describe this jacket.
Yeah, okay. He's wearing this varsity jacket that looks like it started as a NASCAR sort of thing, but it's a bunch of sports team patches just all splashed on the left side of his chest. And it's like 30 patches on top of each other, and they're nowhere else on this jacket. Just on the left breast pocket.
So you know what I think this is? So you know how in like Scouts of America, Boy Scouts, like the more you progress, the more seniority you've gained, the more patches you have on your coat. I think that Mr. Rad, that's his jacket that he's used for his whole life. So all those patches covered on the left side of this jacket are the patches that he's won.
I'd like to think that, but I don't know about that, because one of his patches says Philadelphia 76ers on it, and I think one of them is a Washington Nationals. I could be wrong. Maybe the Nationals went around then, but there's a bunch of sports stuff on it.
Hell, maybe I'm wrong, and he was a basketball player, and they won money to lick popsicles. I don't fucking know.
Everyone got on the bus, and they all got one lick of the popsicle when you got on. Yeah. Everyone put your money together.
Everybody pass this around.
The first day, we don't really need to. There's not really much that's important that goes on here, other than a couple of things that we need to touch on really quickly. Mr. Rad and Leah are talking here, and Leah says, "Well, what are?" Dave and Elgin going to do about the money that they owe Emerald? And he just says, don't worry about it. I've taken care of it. He knows not to mess around with anybody. Sort of implying that they've just sent the LAPD after him.
Well, he said, I had a little bit of help from Chuck, Mr. Chuck. He took care of it for me.
That's right. So the LAPD apparently shows up and either threatens Emerald or arrests him. And
yeah, off screen. We don't see that. He just says it.
Yeah, and then apparently it's just resolved. There's no backlash. There's no problem. Even though he showed up at this guy's grandmother's house and threatened to break his legs, you know, we're okay. Don't worry. Chuck from the LAPD is here.
The gangster plot point with Emerald is gone. That's null at this point now. because Steve Harvey took care of it. It's his neighborhood, as the way he puts it.
He's out of this movie now. So this is the last time, I swear, that I'm going to bring up math in this movie, because I just feel like I have to, because this is crazy. So I just wanted to set this up. Emerald, when he gives Elgin the duffel bag, he says, don't lose that. That is a lot of merchandise. He implies that basically that you would almost think that this is about $50,000 worth of drugs that he has just given away, because he needs, Elgin is now desperate to pay him back. And it just sounds like it is, they don't tell you how much money it is, but it sounds like an astronomical amount of money that he owes this guy. But here's the thing is, there's 8 members to a team in this battle. So Elgin signs up and David signs up, and they're both, the idea is, they both want to just make the money so that they can pay off Emerald. They want to pay off Elle's grandmother and maybe get a little bit of money out of it. That's it. But if you work this out, so if they both go into this, it's a $50,000 prize and there's 8 people on each team, and that's what you're going for. That's what you're going into with the numbers. It's you're going to make about $6,250 each, okay? So if Elgin walks away with $6,250, right? He owes his grandmother $1,500. Let's just assume he owes Emerald the rest of the money. That is $4,750. It's basically less than $5,000 that he owes this guy. That, I mean, like, that's it's not a lot of money. So they build it up to be this crazy thing. But then, because I stopped, I'm like, how much money did he actually owe him? And that's why I broke out this calculator. I'm like, this is bullshit. This is like, he could have asked his grandmother for more bingo money or whatever. I mean, like, look, I'm going to break my legs here or something. Sell a kidney. I don't know. You guys got to figure it out. But it's only $4,700. It's not that bad. You could go and pull out a line of credit for that. So after we're treated this little bit of exposition, David's team battles here. And what happens is one of their guys ends up flubbing a move and they end up getting bounced out now. So they are out of this competition, it seems like. So almost all is lost. All hope is lost for David at this point in time. And this is the end of day one.
At this point, the dance team starts noticing that Little Saint, the little kid, isn't there. And he hasn't been answering his phone. They haven't seen him all day. And much like earlier in the movie, when Sonny didn't show up and when he did finally show up, he betrayed them and was on the other team. That's what I thought was going to happen here. I thought the little kid was going to show up and he was going to be with the rich white kids from Orange County. But that was not the case.
Well, just before that, just to set it quickly here, D is at the diner again with Leah, and they're discussing everything. And then this is where we're going to get some news.
Dad, you seen Rico?
I think he's with Elle and Vic.
They're not picking up their phones, man. We got to find Ring. Saint got shot.
What?
Oh, my God, no. What happened?
He was riding with Lanky and Bug, and some dude sprayed the car.
Those are, I'm assuming, the two bad dudes that he was rolling with earlier that they told him not to hang around with?
Yeah, those are the other little kids that they warned Little Saint about being with because, you know, you might end up getting shot.
They do this a lot in the movie. They give you a lot of just little one-liner things that are supposed to just sort of cover a whole bunch of stuff. You know, the characters are kind of, because there's so much stuff going on in this, and they don't have time to go into depth with a lot of these characters, so you just focus on David and Elle and Leah mostly. You don't really get you get a 2D version of these characters, so everyone just kind of comes in and just gives you a bunch of exposition to sort of move the story along.
And I, like, maybe I'm just not, like, up on urban slang, but, like, when just how quickly that explanation went, like, they're like, he was with Lightning. I thought he said he was rolling with Lightning Bug and someone rolled up and sprayed their car. I had no fucking clue what the hell happened to him. I was like, they sprayed his car. What the hell does that mean? Like,
so
really?
So shot him with a hose? Like, oh my God,
someone, like,
is he all right?
Spray paint his car? They, like, yeah, they, like, sprayed it with water and, like, they got a car accident or something? Like, I had no clue what was going on there.
Well, I
did, but then once we got, you know, they all, after that, they all rushed to the hospital to check on Little Saint's status. And then I realized what actually happened. He got shot.
Yes.
3 times.
And then it's funny because the doctor's like, I can't give you any information because you're not his family. And then they're like, look, we're dancers. We're his buddy. Like, you got to let us know what happened. The guy's just like, okay, well, he's dead. And a bullet ripped across his lung, and this happened, yeah. And this is, he died screaming, and whatever. And they, like, just gives him all this information. And then Rico turns and then punches a hole in the drywall. And the doctor doesn't even go like, what the hell, dude? What's wrong with you? They just, that's it. That's all we get. So, and then they cut again, fade to black again. We're now on the last day. Day two of the big bounce. I guess before they actually get to the dance place, Rico comes over and sort of speaks to Elle and says like, hey, dude, you guys got to square up. You and D got to square up.
Yeah, let's squash this beef. Kids are dying. Let's just squash this beef.
That's right. And D and L both go, no, we're not doing it. And they also...
No, we're not doing it.
Yeah, we don't care about Little Saint. Whatever, who cares? We're not dancing for him. But they also mentioned, too, that the crews are what they are now. So once you're locked in, that's what it is. So allegedly, your team is what it is. So L can dance on this round. D is out. He's out. So now we fast forward to the dance again, and we're there. Do you know who the host is in this? Because I feel like this is probably somebody who's supposed to be famous at this time, but I don't know who this guy is.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so this is. So when I asked you before if you recognize this guy,
no idea.
Okay. This is what I was talking about. Okay. So this guy's name is Wade Robson. He is one of probably, I guess, as far as like America goes, one of the most famous choreographers for dance. He choreographed all of NSYNC's, Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, music videos, and their live performance tours.
Really?
Yeah. Another interesting note, do you know who he was trained by?
I'm going to take a guess at Michael Jackson.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
Yes. So
Wait. Oh my God.
Oh, there you go. Oh my God. You just guessed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's Leaving that's Neverland. That's him.
Leaving Neverland. Whoa. Documentary. That's him. Yeah. So you're having the same reaction. So when I was watching it, with Chad, and I saw him, and I was like, is that Wade Robson? No, it's not. I went on Wikipedia really quick, and I was like, holy shit, that's Wade Robson.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God. Okay. Sorry. Wow.
Yeah.
My mind is blown.
Yeah. So that's Wade Robson. And around this time, he had his own show on MTV. I can't remember what it was called, but it was basically a dance battle show, much like what we're watching.
Really? Oh. So then...
And I dare say he probably choreographed the majority of this movie. He also, just going out to your point earlier about the warehouse looking like a Britney Spears gymnasium, he dated Britney Spears for a very long time.
Did he really?
Legend has it, Cry Me a River by Justin Timberlake is about her breaking up with him to date Wade Robson.
Wow, crazy. I just can't get over that. I'm watching him now, and it's just like, you poor bastard. He is the host of this last, I mean, other than Little Kim, he is the host and he is telling everybody what's going on. And I just want to point out, this is literally the next day. Somehow, in 24 hours, less than 24 hours, like they were at the hospital, I'm going to say, it's 12 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. They're at
being
this battle,
generous,
let's say.
24 hours.
It's probably 12 hours because they're in the daytime now. It's probably 10 o'clock the next morning. They now have Little Saint Memorial t-shirts and sweaters and hats made. Where do they know somebody that has a printer? As we go through the battle, there's a couple teams battling. It's sort of a dance battle montage. They want to let you know that we're going through the day here. Instead of just setting you up at the last battle, every team has been battling throughout the day and the judges are scoring everybody. Lil' Kim comes out and says that the judges have decided that it is a tie and that Wade's crew and L's crew, the Little Saints, have tied.
Just for clarification, we're talking about the white boys from Orange County's crew and our main characters.
Yes, the white boys from Orange County, and yes. And so at this point, once this happened, Mr. Rad comes out and he implores Lil' Kim, which is, I mean, this is funny because at this point, like, Lil' Kim is a huge star. Apparently, in this world, Mr. Rad is just some weird guy who hangs out at a warehouse with a NASCAR patch jacket on. And he just saunters on to the dance floor, an MTV dance floor, with one of the biggest stars in rap and hip-hop at that time. And just one security guy just kind of comes up to him and he just waves him off, just like, get out of my way, sort of Jedi mind tricks him. And there's no one else around him, and he's just able to walk up to Lil' Kim. And he just says, little Miss Kim, whatever your name is, you got to let them do this like we do it on the streets. And so she says,
all right, everybody. We decided to take it to the streets.
At this point, I honestly thought when she said we're taking this to the streets, I legitimately thought that they were going to go out to the streets. I thought that's what that meant. I even said that to Chad. I was watching with my friend Chad. And I was like, I even said it out loud. I go, are they going to do all those dances on the dance like that on pavement? Like, wow. I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. But that's not what they meant.
Someone tries to slide along their head and just like folds in and snaps their neck. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But I mean, you have a good point. What is taking it to the streets? And that's sort of what Elle and Wade ask her to clarify. She kind of explains to you what she means when she means take it to the streets.
Listen up. Y'all tear this mother up. Get grimy and dirty. Straight street.
How street you want us to get?
You know how I like it, baby. Straight hood.
Yeah. Straight hood. This movie, this is serious.
The sincerity that she delivers this dialogue and that he also just accepts this, like, get grimy and dirty. You know how I like it. Straight hood. What is straight hood dancing versus just normal battle dancing?
Well, and how does this guy know how she likes it? why would Elgin, this, you know, this kind of broke street dancer, how does he know how little Kim likes it? Yep. What is that? Like, I would expect some kind of like dirty dancing to start coming out or something, right? Now, so they proceed to start dance battling again, but the dance doesn't look any different whatsoever. Basically, we have the Orange County dancers and Dave and Elle's crew, because Dave and Elle decide to make up at this point, because now that we're in the streets and abiding under hood rules, anybody can join the team.
And I think it is also worth noting, we forgot to mention this part, but at the beginning of the movie, there is a guy named Oscar that you haven't seen at all at any point in this movie, but they talk about him. And allegedly, he is a really good dancer and he's quit dancing. He's just out of the game. He didn't want to do it anymore. And they actually tell you later on that he's into the art form and he wants to keep it pure. That's what they say. He just doesn't want to dance about anymore. Right.
Not this grimy street hood.
That's right. This grimy, dirty street daddle. Yeah, he's just not into it. He's above it, right? Basically, Oscar is above it. But it is at this point now that Oscar shows up. And Rico shows up and Vic shows up. And all the guys that they have danced with along this movie show up. And everybody just leaves it all out on the dance floor. And they go, "We're okay, guys, the music's going to play for 5 minutes and then we'll judge you." And in the movie, in real time, in literal 5 minutes, there is an entire dance scene that we see go on here for 5 minutes.
They play the song Pump It Up by Joe Budden. And the song, that song is normally like 3.5 minutes long. It just starts over. like once it gets to like 3.5 minute mark, the song just starts over. And they just keep dancing to it.
They just like, well, we need to fill up 2 minutes here. Go, do it again. 5 minutes happens. They start dancing. This is over now, basically, effectively at this point. They've come to the end of the dance. And now it's time for the streets to decide, I suppose. Right? And this is where we get our dramatic finish here. And it turns out that the streets have chosen the Little Saints. The Little Saints are victorious because, obviously, this is their movie. They get to be the victors here. And they hold up a giant check for 50 grand, which is going to change all their lives, even though they're all going to... They get 5 grand each. Well, I mean, even less now. If they split this up...
Yeah.
If they split this up 12 ways, everyone's going to get, like, nothing out of this. Like, it's like 4,000 bucks.
But I think the presumption is now that they also win a chance to be in Little Kim's next music video. So, you know, really, they're just catapulted into fame at this point.
Yeah, I guess so, because I don't really know how the dance world works, but maybe that is a big deal if you get featured in a music video that you just, you know, you that everyone's just like, hire those guys. But so at this point, Wade and the white boys from Orange County show up and say, this is BS. This is not fair. We got robbed. And oh boy, how have the tables turned, Tim?
Y'all just mad. Because today, you suckers got served. Sir.
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 Sir. Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
And okay, so why is this, is like the titular insult in this movie, you got served. Does like the whole, does everybody, the whole audience knows, everybody just starts cheering served?
Well, I think, I guess, I mean, when it's kind of instinctual when you hear someone just do something like that, like fight, fight, fight. You're like, oh yeah, fight, fight. They're like, yeah, this, I mean, maybe, I mean, obviously, we're not that street, but maybe these guys are real street and they're like, oh, someone got served? Who got served? He's got served? Serve, serve, serve. But that is basically where the movie ends.
It is sad that little Saint died, a little kid died, but you know what? This is a good ending.
Yeah, there's no problem anymore. No one cares. A child apparently has been murdered. A drug dealer that doesn't, you know, he's been scared. He's gone away now. And so there was a lot of weird things that happened in here. When I found out Little Saint got shot, I thought that Emerald shot him because they owed money. I thought that was like a shot across the bow.
I thought that was going to be revealed as well.
It would have made more sense, right? As like you'd like paint this guy's like, this is a seriously crazy dude. He shot this kid over $4,000 that this other guy owed him.
So that you got served. I feel like I was just served a great dance movie with people who are so passionate about it that, you know, family goes out the window. Everything goes out the window. It's all about the dance.
Yeah. And I had such a fun time with this movie. I really did. It's so enjoyable and it's so goofy and ridiculous, but they all do take this movie so seriously. And it's these serious moments that add all the levity in it. It's comedy without them realizing that it's comedy. And that's what makes a movie that's sometimes bad or mediocre or has a ridiculous premise be a great movie that everybody just has blind faith in it.
I think it's cool too. Like, I think that this is a movie where like you could, like parents can show their kids this movie and they'll get a kick out of the dancing. Because even as there are some dark tones to this movie, like kids die. But honestly, I didn't even understand it without viewing this movie two or three times, like to actually comprehend what even happened. So I think that parents, you know, if your kids like music and they like seeing dancing, you can let them watch this movie because they won't even comprehend the dark aspects of it because it's glossed over in such a nonchalant way.
And it was a great movie though, and honestly, I had such a blast watching this. This has been one of the better watches we had to do.
I would say so far, this has been my favorite watch.
Yes. Oh,
just because it's so lighthearted, easy to get through. It's not offensive. It's good. So I think we've said enough about this movie. There's only one place to take this now.
All right, everybody. We decided to take it to the streets.
Yeah!